Hello, this is Erwin Raphael McManus. I'm the lead pastor of Mosaic. Welcome to our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. I hope this talk inspires you, encourages you, and transforms you, and that this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Merry Christmas, everyone. I'm Kim.
And I'm Erwin.
And we just want to welcome you. This is our home, and this is the first time we've ever done this, to say come into our home for a whole month.
But with COVID and the quarantine, with all the challenges that 2020 have brought, we wanted to invite you to our home for the holidays.
That's exactly right. And we love home. And everything is about family and home for us.
Although we have been home this year.
Way too much.
So we love home, but it would be really great to get
out of home.
But while we're home, let's make this the best Christmas ever.
I'll tell you, we've learned a lot of things. We've worked through a lot of things here in our own space, as you have in your house. So we just want to just come and have a time where we just relax, talk to you for a few minutes, enjoy the season. We don't want to let this season pass by. We want to redeem 2020, and we're not letting this moment, this season, go uncelebrated. We are celebrating in this home. And we love Christmas. We have Christmas, like children who love Christmas. So, hey.
So each week we're going to invite you to join us here for the month of December. And we're going to take some time and unwrap the story of Jesus and allow God to speak to us during each one of these times together.
Yeah.
Why don't you begin?
And I don't want to just welcome you. I also want to welcome you to the scriptures. We're going to go Luke, the first chapter of Luke. And we're going to look at the first four verses, and it goes like this. I love this. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. This is the beginning. This is when Jesus had been with us, had been born, had lived the life for 33 years, sacrificed ultimately, died, resurrected, ascended back into heaven. Time passed. Luke, who was an associate of all the disciples, was an eyewitness, and it was important for him to sit down and write an account. And we're the benefactors of that, that he called himself an eyewitness and a servant of the word. I want us to be thinking that is our part of Christmas this year, to be a servant of the word, to do our part in this whole history of what we've lived through, and know that we can be its servant, that we can finish well, that 2020 has been redeemed, that God is good and he is good for us, and that God loves us and that God has cared for us. And I'm just like, God, what is my part in this? How can I be a servant to take the truth forward and not be a servant of what the circumstances say, what restrictions say, what the new turn of events, the news says? But I want to be very intentional. And so I want Christmas to be that for us. And I hope that for you, that you would feel that you too would be a servant. And what does that look like to be a servant of the word? That you are called, that God has commissioned you. He has assigned you for certain work to do. And whenever you meet another human being, that's where the work begins. Our work is human work. Our work is people work. Our work is a broken world, loving them. And it goes beyond what our own circumstances are. God has called us. He's in 1 John, it says, you are the anointed. You are the anointed one. This is your job. Our job is to serve a broken world. And that's part of being a servant of the word, is loving people.
Mm, that's so good. You know, one of the things that really strikes me, and that's so critical, is that Luke, who also wrote Acts, and it tells you that Luke probably is not what we consider an intuitive, artistic, creative, spontaneous human being. His goal was to write an orderly account. And he writes Luke and Acts as two pieces of history. He wants to make sure that the story of Jesus is not lost in the mythology, but that it's actually grounded in history. He knows that the life of Jesus is so extraordinary. The things that Jesus did were so unbelievable beyond imagination or comprehension even that he wanted to make sure that generations later, people were not simply telling myths or stories about this man, Jesus. He wanted to make sure that what Jesus did was rooted in real time, real space, a real moment in history. And so he tells us he wants to make sure that he leaves us an orderly account. And then he writes to this friend called Theophilus, which means lover of God. So he's writing to this person who is a lover of God. He may not be a person who yet believes in Jesus, but what you find is that there was all this movement of people around the time of Jesus who were actually trying to make sense of life and trying to make sense of God. And they were leaning into the law and the prophets, the scriptures, and they were waiting for this Messiah. And Luke writes to this person saying, if you actually have your heart inclined toward God, I want to leave you the history, not a story, but a history of what God did in real time and real space. And that just, for me, becomes so powerful because sometimes when you're in the moment in life, you're wondering, does God really know what to do in this moment? We don't say that out loud, but the way we kind of show it is we're not really able to trust God or not willing to trust God in this moment in life. 2020 has been one of the most, I think, unexpected and devastating years for so many people. And, you know, we're still on the crest of the momentum of a really challenging moment in history. And as you're living through this moment, right now you may just be trapped in this moment, but I want you to realize there's going to be a day where you're going to look back on this moment, and you're going to tell the story of how you met God in that moment. And so 5 years from now, in 2025, and then 2030, and 2035, however long into the future, we get to tell the story here. We get to write through our lives an orderly account of what God did in this moment in history. We get to be both eyewitnesses and servants. That's the language that Luke uses. He says that he's both an eyewitness and a servant. Whenever God acts in your life, you become an eyewitness of the proof and reality of God. But when you get to experience God, you're not just experiencing that for your benefit. You're not just experiencing the goodness and generosity and intervention and activity of God in your life for you. It's also so that you can be a servant of that reality. You can be a servant of that intervention. You can be a servant of that truth. And so each one of us during this Christmas season, we need to pick up our pens in a sense, and we need to make sure that our souls are a parchment where God can write the story of his intervention in human history, his activity in our lives. And each one of us need to make sure that we're telling the orderly account of God's work in us. So maybe the questions for me become really a little bit unnerving. Am I trying to write the history of this year without God? Am I writing the history of this year as if God were absent? Am I writing the history of this year and the history that we're writing for generations to come is I just survived that moment. I struggled through it. I was suffocating. I could barely breathe. Or are you allowing God to write through your life how faithful he is, how good he is, how powerful he is in this moment of your life? But it's not over yet. And so maybe if it was a rough start and a rough middle, this December, we have an opportunity to make it an extraordinary end. And after all, we know that every great story, every great epic tale has a pretty shaky middle, even for the heroes. It's how the story ends that actually matters. It's how you finish the book that actually makes the book powerful. And you can finish this month writing a history of God meeting you in this moment in time. If Jesus was just a story, it would be the most inspiring story ever written. And I love great stories, and we live in the epicenter of great storytelling. And our favorite movies would be different movies, but we both love stories that inspire us, and they inspire us to love, or they inspire us to courage, or they inspire us to dream great dreams, or to live heroic lives, or to pursue that great love. And stories can have a power to them, but a story can never be as powerful as a history. And if in this moment our story is rooted in reality, and you can become the proof of God's presence in the middle of protests, in the middle of the pain and anguish of social injustice, in the middle of questioning the authenticity and veracity of our own historical story as a nation, in a moment where people are struggling to trust each other, in a moment where we seem to be divided between color and race and place of birth, in a moment where a global pandemic has caused a global pandemic of fear and uncertainty, in a moment where quarantine has cost us so many of our assumed freedoms and has brought an avalanche of despair and depression and anxiety and stress and even of suicide. In this moment, this is the moment where God needs us to be writing the history that needs to be lived right now. You and me, we together need to be the eyewitnesses of God's activity and the servants of that reality, so that we're allowing God to meet us in this moment, and then we are allowing God to use us so that those who are struggling right now, those who feel alone right now, those who feel overwhelmed with loneliness, those who are drowning in their own despair, those who feel paralyzed in their anxiety and stress, have someone close enough to them where they don't have to ask, well, why did God do something 2,000 years ago? Where is he now? They can actually look at you. They can look at us. They can read the story of our lives and know that God is here in this moment. In this way, we're all supposed to be Luke. We are to be writing the orderly account of God's activity in now. God is grounded in this moment. He's here with us, but we need to ground ourselves in him, or this moment may overwhelm us. But when you're grounded in his presence and the reality of who Jesus is, there is no moment in history that you will ever have to write without the proof of God with you. And there may be people listening right now who've just decided to join us for the first time. Maybe you're listening and you just needed to get around some Christmas environment and find a little bit of hope and the possibility of peace and joy in your life. And Kim and I want you to know that the reason that we're doing this is because both of us have had a life-changing encounter with Jesus, and Jesus has changed our lives. And it wasn't from an easy life or an ideal circumstance that Jesus came to us. It's in the middle of our own pain and our own confusion and our own hopes and longings and dreams. And so we both know with absolute certainty that wherever you are and whatever you've been through and whatever this moment looks like for you right now, that God is just a breath away. He's just a prayer away. And if you're ready to put your trust in Jesus, if you're tired of trying to struggle through this life alone, then we want to invite you right now just to cross the line of faith and to open up your life to Jesus and let him bring to you the forgiveness that your soul longs for, the freedom that you're created for, and the future that only God can imagine for you. So I want to lead you just a simple prayer. It's just one sentence. But that one sentence is a conversation with God that will change everything in your life. As if you're ready to receive God's forgiveness and his freedom and his love, would you just pray the simple prayer with me right now? Jesus, I give you my life. Right now, just tell him, Jesus, I give you my life. That simple declaration is that transference of relationship where you are now giving your life to Jesus. And when you give your life to Jesus, he puts his life in you. And if you just whispered this prayer, Jesus, I give you my life, I want you to know that God has met you in this moment, and I want to wish you the greatest Christmas ever, because the story of Jesus is God coming into human history for us. And the story of this Christmas for you is God coming to dwell within you, giving you life. So I want you to go to mosaic.org/followjesus and let us know that you've made a decision, a commitment today, a choice to follow Jesus, so that we can help you on your new spiritual journey. Because this relationship with Jesus is not one you're supposed to do alone. And we want to wish you all
a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, guys.
We're so glad you could be in our home.
And Mosaic, we love you, and we'll see you next week. Thank you so much for joining us on the Mosaic Podcast. I want to encourage you to take the message you just received and allow it to go deeply into your soul. Let Jesus do the deep work that only he can do. A special thank you to everyone who gives to Mosaic. Your sacrifice makes this podcast possible and creates life change all over the world. You can be a part of spreading this message around the world by going to mosaic.org/give. You can also subscribe, rate, and share this podcast with your friends and family. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.